Hello, and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show where we're going to talk about what happened last week, and I guess the week before, because we took a break off for Independence Day because it had us scattered all over the place. As always, it's your boy Dom, aka Brother Dom, forgetting my lines, and once again, I'm joined by the not-so-forgettable, you know, unforgettable co-host. Would you like to tell people who you are?
Hi everyone, it is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and I would just like to file away for the record that I don't know that I've ever heard anyone actually call it Independence Day when they weren't talking about the movie.
Oh, you know,
it's the 4th of July.
I mean, it is the 4th of July. Yeah, I just wanted to be long-winded, I guess. Who knows? We arrive at strange places.
A shocking development.
we get there the way we get there. How you been, Steph? I feel like I haven't seen you in 2 days.
I've been good. I got a new apartment. Pretty excited about that.
Cool.
Spoiler alert for... Couldn't save it for the stuff we got this last 2 weeks, part of the episode.
Yeah, we can save that for, like, I don't know, nerdy stuff. Why not, right?
Sure. Yeah, and then I got to go home this last weekend and hang out with... Awesome, pretty awesome people, including none other than my lovely co-host.
Oh, I was there. I came to all these parties. I partied a lot this weekend. It was my birthday yesterday on Sunday, actually. So I threw a party on Friday, a pajama-themed party. Your boy got a Snapchat filter, because why not be a little bit ostentatious when you get the chance? And then I went to some picnics on Saturday, and this is a good time. It was a good time. And these last few weeks, a couple weeks, have been a really good time to be a nerd and talk about stuff, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it has been a wild 2 weeks. Some good stuff on the docket today.
Yes, so it's probably worth talking about, so let's jump into this stuff. Like, I guess the hype has died down, but not for me. Rick and Morty had a live event a couple weeks ago, and... They announced when season 3 is coming out and just did a Q&A. It was great. It was a fun time. It's a great time. And that's going to...
It's soon, too, right?
Yeah, like July 30th, I believe. Which is...
Ooh, that's very soon.
Yeah, so that gives you time to binge watch it.
Yes. We'll get there.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to start with the episode we already saw on April Fool's Day, but it's going to be like 10 episodes, so I think there should be some nice stories and all that kind of cool stuff. So I'm excited.
Nice.
The people have been waiting for about a year and a half, like they said at the end of season 2, roughly. And as well, there were announcements. I forget where this was announced at. Some anime thing, I believe, or there was a convention that I think Studio Trigger was at. I was going to say Gainax, but it's not them anymore. We're getting Fully Cooly Season 2 and Season 3, because Adult Swim was a nice benefactor, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was really one of its, like, as far as, like, their anime programming went, that was, like, one of their flagship kind of things that, like, when like, people our age were figuring out that anime was for grown-ups, too, kind of thing. If that makes sense. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, it was kind of, like, we were all watching.
Very tired.
So we were all watching, like, what, Rurouni Kenshin, Inuyasha, yeah, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, and Adult Swim's like, yo, but what about if you could be 14 and watch this without being embarrassed? Or vaguely
similar.
Yeah,
I mean, like even in all of those shows did have, like, grown-up shit in them. They were just super, like, for kids.
Yeah, we got, like, for kids versions. Through, like,
Rurouni
Ocean
Kenshin
dubs.
Aired at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it is so full of people killing each other.
Isn't that, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of, I can't remember, there was, like, some harem anime that I saw. And it was
Tenchi Muyo, maybe?
Yeah, it was Tenchi Muyo. That show was dope. They had the blue hair girl. She was like a scientist. I'm like, yo, this is fire. I'm pretty sure I shouldn't be watching this, but it is 5 p.m. So, like, I must
so
not
be. So it must
something.
Be okay.
It must be relatively okay. Sailor Moon just went off, so that informed a lot about my childhood, probably.
Yeah, but anyway, Fooly Cooly's coming back.
Yeah, and I can't tell if
it's... season 2 and 3 means. Does that mean just, like, two stints of 12 episodes?
I'm not sure. It seemed like they were... I don't know. I don't actually know. But from the preview didn't make me think it was going to be a continuation of the other stories, other than, like, the giant iron in the backdrop. But they'll probably do some interesting stuff. I mean, Studio Trigger does amazing animation, so...
Yeah, that's not false.
So I think it'll be... Even if it's doesn't live up to the previous, but there's no way it can because of nostalgia, it'll still look very beautiful, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely.
And these next two things, let's flip them for the sake of time flow.
are we just running through all this stuff, or are we...
Do you have anything to say about Fooly Cooly?
Oh, no, we talked before the show about making sure we have so much to talk about that we wanted to make sure we didn't let it just drag out forever, but...
It's fair.
We're just, like, hitting the bullet points.
I think I've just... It's been some time. I'm tired. I don't know. I think we'll get into more stuff as this progresses. I don't know. I really liked Fooly Cooly, but I don't really know what there is to say about a sequel that they only gave us, like, a minute and a half teaser for.
That's true. Also, like, for me, I watched Fooly Cooly so long ago. Like, my freshman year of high school, which was over a decade ago. And it was 12 episodes that total less than 6 hours of time sitting.
Fooly Cooly?
Like, total. Fooly Cooly.
I thought it was only 6 or 4 episodes.
Is it only 6 or 4? Okay, yeah. So it was like
6, yeah.
Yeah, so... Some nerd. It's good thing we don't have a huge following, because some nerd would totally gatekeep me on that.
I don't know how your mind, your self-history had the balls, figuratively, to think that you could withstand 12 episodes of that show. there was a... That, 12 episodes of that is probably not, like, a great thing to digest, I feel like. I mean, there were 12 episodes of Panty and Stocking. That might be what you're thinking of with Studio Trigger.
Yeah, but weren't those, like, shorter episodes?
I thought it was, like, 12 episodes of, like, 2 15-minute blocks. I might be misremembering that.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. All right, well, we've gotten distracted and off track.
Look, Studio Trigger needs to get their shit together and give us Panty and Stocking Season 2.
Yeah, that's what the people really want. Honestly, like, Fooly Cooly, like, it was cool. But I don't remember a damn thing about it except for Haruka with the guitar, so...
I remember a good bit about it, and it ended on, like, a... Like, the unsatisfying end that you could consider, you might... There may have been, was, like, part of the point, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There wasn't, like, a, oh, hey...
It wasn't, like a gotcha thing, like the end of Panty and Stocking.
Yeah, because, I mean, even... I guess even without the gotcha moment, right? It still doesn't have, like, a satisfying... It's not like that we had a satisfying ending... And they took it away. We didn't even get that, because you're like, well, what happened to Purple Dude Corset? What happened to him? What happened to the Demon Sisters? They just kind of got flung off to the side. Where are they at? Oh, I mean, they're here, but now we don't know what's happening to Panty, but this seems like a lie. So, like, or, yeah. Actually, yeah, both angels were just gone. We got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thanks, Studio Trigger. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for a beautiful show for 13 episodes. With you know, it's
alrighty.
That show had great art, honestly. I like the cartoony look.
It was fun.
Fun to cosplay. So speaking of, like, lewd things, lewd and offensive things, let's talk about the South Park guys for a second.
They're wimps.
They're going out like some punks right now.
Yep.
And I'm not 100% sure which way to call them punks, but let's give you a situation. So, according to something that I was linked to on the Daily Dot, they're not going to talk about Donald Trump this season. They're going to ignore him and try to just talk about other stuff. They said, you know, the show's the most funny when the kids are just kind of dealing with, like, the absurdity of, like, the stuff going on in South Park school. In the city, which is true. Like, that's not a false statement, but part of their whole shtick was, you know, the, oh, we're not racist, sexist, etc. We make fun of everybody. And sometimes they do hit that mark. Like, they definitely have some episodes where it's like, oh, hey, white people, you're not necessarily being progressive. You're just trying to assuage your own guilt. You're not actually helping the black family. You're not actually being supportive of the gay people. You're just trying to get your I shop at Whole Foods brownie points, right? So,
yeah,
there's something to be seen there, but that's not what they're most known for.
Their whole shtick is doing I've seen like four full episodes of South Park in the movie in my life, but like from what I understand, their shtick is to write a story that comments on something going on in pop culture and lampoon it.
Yeah, to a degree, I'd say. Yeah,
that's like a.
No, I agree.
It's not always what they do, but like that's.
It's a good portion of what they do. I mean, they got like they like, I mean, they slammed, freaking, I mean, they have a tendency to like make fun of things, but not directly. Like they kind of made fun of the whole Katrina thing, kind of long after the fact. I feel like, but they didn't directly call out Bush, but they were like, this was not handled well. I mean, they called out Tiger Woods' sex addiction thing, and more so the cover-up of, like, how people are like, oh, no, that's, no, men just being men, that's totally normal. Or, you know, like, making fun of Bill Belichick. Like, they've done these things, but they also can be good political satirists, you know? I know it's divisive, but I like their episode where they pointed out that people are fine with the N-word just as long as it doesn't affect white people by being called the N-word guy. I think that's a witty joke, and you could tell what side they're on based on like how their characters are written, not necessarily the direct words. So to say that they're not going to like attack Donald Trump is kind of like either you're cowards and you don't want to lose your more status quo warrior fan base, like your alt-right buddies, you don't want to lose their viewership, or you see the myopia that would be trying to make fun of Donald Trump in a way that's not just like easy, you know what I mean? So either you are too scared to offend people that normally offend people, or you're too scared to try to write something difficult, and either way that's like not a good look. And I guess, because there also is the, this is a way that some people feel, and I don't think it's these guys, but there's the, I don't want to even joke about this because it's not funny anymore. Like, it's just terrible. And there's that aspect of it, but like, this is also the show that when 9/11 happened, you had the boys accidentally ship themselves over to one of the Middle Eastern countries, and like Cartman did like a Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd routine with Bin Laden. And like very shortly after a terrorist attack, like, so the idea of too soon or what's crossing the line is not really a thing for them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've grown up or if they've changed, but it just seems like a coward move.
They personally have grown up, they've like kind of stuck their line in the sand for their brand.
Yeah.
Like.
But I mean, and I guess there's also the weird thing of their last season kind of fell flat on its face towards the end. Because you could see that they were definitely setting up whatever plot they wanted to make based on Hillary winning the election. I don't know if they like Hillary or not. I would assume, well, let me rephrase that. I don't know if they like Donald Trump or not. But they definitely didn't think he was going to win that election. So a lot of their plot threads just kind of fell apart. And there's things that don't really have a satisfying conclusion. Some plot there just get, because they did like the whole season story a couple times in a row. But also they made Mr. Garrison their Donald Trump XP, so I don't know where Donald Trump exists in the South Park canon. Like, I don't know if he's actually, I don't think I've ever seen him. So they're at this weird impasse of like, well, I don't think this is the reason either, but I'd be pretty pissed off at myself if it's like, well, we gotta keep writing plots about this guy, but we actually don't have him, and now we ruined one of our other characters. It's weird. But
for the purpose of making fun of him,
yeah,
losing.
Yeah, we didn't think he was going to be here in a year. This is wasn't part of the plan, so I don't know. I just think there's two. If they give it like one, like I understand not belaboring the point. If they do one episode and be like, we don't want this to be our whole show, I respect that, but I don't think that's what happened. I think they have an alt-right fan base, and they don't want to co-opt the language. I don't think they want to trigger their Snowflake fan base. Ooh, see, it's what happens when the shoe's on the other foot. Now it feels weird, don't it? So that's that nonsense. I'm disappointed in those guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every once in a while you feel like they're doing something. Like, I guess, given their, like, we'll make fun of everyone equally mentality, like, every once in a while the pendulum swings over to the side that you agree with, and you're like, man, they're really on point this time. And then they do something like this, and you're like, eh.
And it's, and I honestly have, like, from watching their show for so long and hearing the interviews with them and seeing what happens in their show, they say stuff like, oh, well, we hate Republicans, but we really hate Democrats. I'm like, but your personal politics that you put in your show don't seem to necessarily agree with that as ardently as you say you do. I mean, they ended a show with Token saying to Cartman, how come stand your ground only applies to white people? And there wasn't like a funny, witty, like, oh, Token, blah, blah. It was just pretty much, that was, seemed to be the punchline of the episode. Like, hey, we're kind of just pointing this out. It seems like they want to say progressive stuff, but also get to say the N-word and homophobic slurs. Like, they want to have their cake and eat it too. And I don't know. I think they're in a position where, because you'll see a lot of people online, like places like some of the crappier parts of Reddit and 4chan and stuff, that people will be like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so got mad at Cartman. Like, Wendy's so harsh. Why is she so mean? And it's like, Cartman's the designated bad guy. You're not supposed to be like, that was awesome that he killed a dude's parents. That was awesome that he made fun of breast cancer. No, you're not supposed. You're supposed to be like, this is objectively a bad dude. We'll use him as our proxy to say these terrible things, and then when he gets his comeuppance, that's us saying, don't do that. Don't be a misogynist, racist, sexist. Don't shoot your black friend. Don't do all this. But so you have your more liberal minded people are saying, hey, this is pretty witty writing, if not very problematic and potentially toxic. But then you have your, I guess, not liberal people saying, huh, it was funny when Cartman made fun of Jewish people. It's like, well, that kind of wasn't the goal, but I see how you got that.
He was the bad guy for doing that, but sure.
So I think that's, and if their reason was, we're tired of accidentally stoking the pot.
It's a little too late, homie.
They just don't want to say that, because I think they realize we need people to keep buying our merch and our video games. But if we out and out say that, hey, we kind of lean more progressive, it could not be so great. So, that was my hot topic of this half.
But, well, we've got one more thing to talk about.
Yes, we do. So who's one of...
This is so I have a hot question off the for presses you. Today.
Yes, this is from today. So I have two independent questions for you.
Shoot.
Who is the hottest character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Not the Marvel Universe, period. Not cinematic. Just Marvel Universe.
That's so hard.
Does it help if I ask you, who is the most unbeatable person in the Marvel Universe?
Hey.
Because it's the same person. I don't know if you knew that.
Is it a one Dorian Green?
It is.
The Squirrel Girl?
The Squirrel Girl, in fact. One of the hottest characters ever. Independent of her kickassery. Maybe not. Maybe because of her kickassery.
Maybe because of it. Maybe she's just so badass that she seems hot. Maybe she's so hot that it helps how badass she is. I don't know.
I think it's the fashion. Because it could have been Captain America if you knew how to dress. It was a 50-50. And obviously we're not counting anybody from Wakanda because it's not fair to the curves. you know, I always got to represent. We got a casting for the Freeform show. I think it is.
Yes.
Freeform
is doing a show, like an ensemble kind of teen show. About, God, is it called New Warriors?
Yes, New Warriors.
Yes, Marvel's New Warriors. That's gonna have a couple characters that I never heard of on it, but it's like flagship character that people. It's like the touchpoint character from like people who are reading comics to want to watch the TV show is Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
You're saying?
Yeah, she's like this. So this is like a D-list show, and she's like their C/B-lister.
Yeah.
She's a C-lister character, but like a great C-lister character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, definitely. The people are hype about it.
Well, it's because okay, so this is also, I'm looking at this. This is quite a diverse cast. So let's see. Yeah, we got a black dude, a white dude, an Asian dude, and a lady that is, I don't actually know, but she is at least partially black, which is great to see black women on the screen.
Yes.
And
which again, another teaser for later. We'll get there.
But the woman playing Squirrel Girl is, let's see if I can say this. I'm gonna try. No disrespect.
It's on you. I'm not trying.
Milana Feintrum.
Sure.
She is from This Is Us, which I've never seen, but she's also the AT&T girl. If you have seen one of those commercials, and she's quite cool. She seems like a fun person. She seems like a Squirrel Girl type person, if not a little older than Squirrel Girl. Being that Squirrel Girl is in college?
Yeah, according to the comics, she's in college right now.
Okay.
But in a kind of like middle grade, early young adult friendly college, where mostly what they do is make animal puns and stop crime and learn how to be computer programmers.
As opposed to
the kind of college where you drink a lot of mysterious alcohol out of red cups. And experiment with drugs. I don't know.
Let's be real. The first half of that sentence I think still applies to the second half of that sentence. No matter what, look, if you weren't like experimenting with puns in college, I don't think you had the full experience.
Experimenting with puns.
It's a gateway.
Dangerous puns.
You know,
gateway to the higher levels of
wordplay,
exactly. Although, you know, this is a fun fact that's also a complete diversion from our topic, but did you know that it's only that, like, the treatment of puns as like the lowest form of linguistic humor is something that's specific to languages?
Yeah,
like, we think of them like as like the low-hanging fruit of the wordplay tree, but like puns in Japanese are like the peak.
Well, they used to be the peak in English, if I recall correctly. When I say used to, I mean like used to.
Like Shakespeare used to?
Yeah. When they used to like guillotine people.
Back in those guillotine days.
I mean, if you say someone got guillotined, you don't think it was in the last, like, couple, like, 50 years.
Like, and yet,
we had
the French, the last French execution by guillotine was in the 70s.
I'm talking about, I was going to say America, but I don't think that was that it?
I don't think they guillotine people in America.
Are we just, like, exclusively a lynching society? Lynching and burnings?
Yeah, they hung them or electrocuted them.
We burn people at the stake, you know?
Yeah.
Because America.
I feel like that was before we were America. I think that was just like they were on North America, but we weren't.
I consider Salem like America early America. Yet. I'm going to consider the Salem witch trials if they actually happened. Because someone told me
they
happened
in like 1604. Like,
I thought they did. Like, okay, but that, so that wasn't.
But I mean, like, they did happen, but they happened before like America. The idea of America was like a twinkle in anyone's eye.
But was it white people in North America?
Yes.
I'm calling that.
Who else? Else does public executions in North America?
I'm gonna call that beta America, because
the beta testing.
Yeah, they were just beta testing. Like, what do we? How? Let's set the stage for how we're gonna treat women for the next 400 years.
Let's beta test our white supremacy protocols and our religious intolerance protocols.
Oh shit! Is that Optimus Prime? Oh jeez. Yeah, so that would be weird if he actually was there. So yeah, I'm excited about Squirrel Girl as well. And before we get to the next portion, can I read you the screenshot someone took on Twitter?
Please do.
Here are four stories that apparently were next to each other. Story number one, Donald Trump Jr. has hired a lawyer. Okay.
Not surprised.
The Rock political committee formed for a potential 2020 run.
Sadly, also not surprised.
Steve Bannon apparently has a painting of himself as Napoleon.
That might be the third least surprising thing. The most surprising thing out of those three things.
And umbrella sharing startup loses nearly all of its 300,000 umbrellas. Happy 2017. Happy 2017. Those are like
four different headlines that are all equally ludicrous and yet equally...
Of course.
Like, of course, believable in this, the year of our Lord.
Yep.
Like.
That's true. Well, yeah. Let's go into some music because I need to wash that taste out of my mouth. So, friends, here's some music and we will see you after the break. Music. Do you think it was good stuff? Do you think it was going to be good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, as always, the information will be in the show notes, so go check it out and go give it a listen. Last week was the hypest week of my entire life. Holy shit, it was such a good week. My little nerd heart couldn't handle it.
A bunch of it all happened on one day, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Some game stuff happened that I don't know about, but some other people were pretty excited about. But for me, Splatoon 2 got, like, some more information given to us, like, through a Nintendo Direct.
Some more lore.
Some lore, some showing of, like, different weapons and such. There's, like, you know how they have their sniper rifle, like, their chargers? There's one that's, like, looks like a vacuum cleaner or something. And then, like, they just have, like, a bunch of new kinds of... Like, there's new variations of guns. I don't remember them all, but there's some real wacky stuff in there.
Like a vacuum cleaner, but it sprays ink? Or a vacuum cleaner to, like, wipe up other people's ink?
It's just it's a gun. It just looks like a vacuum cleaner. Mm. Like one of the ones with, like, the long tube and, like... Like the one that, like, Chucky rode in the Rugrats intro. To give you a vivid picture.
A vivid, like... That's, like, muscle memory.
Yeah.
That's, like, not even, like, active. I'm not, like, actively accessing a memory there. I was like, oh yeah.
Remember bucking it and just, like, covering Angelica in dirt.
Dust, yeah.
Just old dust.
Scummy, horrible vacuum cleaner dust.
Oh, Chucky Finster. More like Chucky Sucks Finster.
Wow.
I tried my best. But, yeah, we also got to see the new group, since Kelly and Maria are temporarily indisposed right now for various reasons. And now we have...
Yes.
Pearl and Marina. Yes, off the hook. Another fish pun. Yay, great.
Shut up. Don't act like you don't love it.
I don't like this one.
You don't like this pun?
I don't like it as, like, a duo name. Because you want to say, like, the Squid Sisters still? But you're like, oh, it's off the hook. Like, I have to, like, go out of my way, be like, oh, no, the band, not the phrase. Like, this party, it's off the hook. Who was there? Well, off the hook. No, stop repeating yourself. You got to get terrible who's on first.
You use them in different ways. Yeah. You can't really who's on first it because it's a noun when it's the group, and it's an adjective phrase, like descriptive
but it could be confusing. And when it's not confusing, it's just kind of like, it's not as cool as the Squid Sisters. To be fair, though, it's less of a lie because the Squid Sisters weren't sisters. So, I mean, like, off the hook advantage. And off the hook is an interracial group. There's a squid and an octopus. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we have apparently broken that boundary.
Yep.
Apparently the feud was able to stop for music.
For the band?
For the band. They were an adorable little group. The octopus girl is not just an octopus, like she's also a brown girl, and Nintendo's been knocking it out of the park this cycle of games with like their brown women characters. You know, you have Twintel, who, I mean, so there's some things you could discuss about her, but is a black woman. And then you have mm-hmm. the Gerudo women, who don't seem to be as villainous as what I've seen before, but I don't know. There's like a hero, one of the Gerudo women. And then there's somebody in Pokemon Sun and Moon, but I would have had to play those games. And now we have Marina, who's
I remember her. I remember the girl from Sun and Moon.
Yeah. So there's also the girl from Pokemon Go, who's like the Valor coach or whatever they were.
Oh, yeah.
Whose
name I can't remember because I wasn't a weak Valor player.
Look, I just remember...
I said that in past tense, like I didn't spend the last, like, hour playing Pokemon Go while I took my laundry out.
See, I only remember Spark because that was, like, a joke. And, like, he just became a meme instantly for some reason just because he was the white dude. And they're like, of course he would dab. Like,
yeah. He was just, like the kind of, like, harmless, like, Hufflepuff-y, like...
He was the Hufflepuff.
Like, he just loved memes and dabbing and loving his Pokemon very much and stopping Team Valor and Team Instinct, or not Instinct, Team Valor and Team Mystic from, like, killing each other all the time.
Wait, so what were Hufflepuff's colors?
Black and yellow.
Okay, and what was Ravenclaw's?
In the books, they're blue and bronze. In movies, they decided they were blue and silver because I don't know why.
Okay,
so they thought blue and silver looked nicer together.
And that fits with Mystic.
That fits with Mystic,
and then Bravery fits with Valor.
Red and gold is Valor, yeah.
And then the player was the Slytherin. I guess I don't know. They don't get no love here, apparently. Well, no. All the tree professors, they're the Slytherins because they get kids to do their bidding because it's less work. Cunning. So, yeah, I'm excited about Splatoon 2. Golly gosh, it just looks like a lot of fun, a lot of cool modes. And the first Splatfest actually is next weekend, I think. It's a week before the game comes out.
Wow.
Like, yeah, you can download a demo, actually. It's this Friday, actually, which is...
That's...
Yeah, it's a weird thing, right? It's cake versus ice cream. Yeah.
I saw that, and Marina's team cake, or team ice cream, so I was like, well, I guess I picked the right one to be my favorite.
I went with green. I mean, she basically looks like if Sombra and Lucio had an aquatic baby, it would be this one. And, of course, we gotta go to Overwatch, because Doomfist was announced.
Doomfist.
And
in the most anime, literally the most anime way.
Yeah.
Because it was like an anime trailer.
Instead of like the moving comic thing or like a full cinematic, which may have, depending on their animation,
it almost seems
may have
like
been
it was
cheaper.
More work.
I think it was more work to do the anime. Yeah, that had to be more work because it was a lot shorter because that fight scene could have gone longer if it wouldn't have cost so much, I bet. Or just took so long. They're like, guys, hurry up, get this out. People have been waiting. But Doomfist is out. He's an offense hero because we don't have enough offense heroes. It's only the biggest class. But yeah, he's a interesting guy. He's a bad guy, but he's one of the more intelligent, cunning people in the Overwatch canon. Apparently everybody knows that Tracer needs her accelerator to stay on. Like, no one even considers, like, that it's just Flare. They're like, if I rip this off, things are gonna or shoot through it, things will go poorly for her. And, high perception, all that. And, yeah, he fought Winston. which, you know, Winston put him in jail, which is, they literally needed a genetically engineered gorilla from the moon to use, like, his ultimate ability to stop Doomfist from just, I don't know, standing there menacingly.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's out. His moveset is really interesting. It looks overpowered at first, and he has one move that they need to probably tune, but, I mean, he's just another person who's going to get wrecked by Pharah, because everybody gets wrecked by Pharah, because it's hard to look. He has a giant fist on his arm, and that's his way of attacking, and if someone's in the air, it's like, well, I can get a lot of air, but I can't fly with this fist. It's not a jetpack. It's not a jet wristband. But there has been some discourse around Doomfist, because a lot of the brown characters in Overwatch are on Team Bad Guy.
Or have, like, kind of, not, maybe stereotypical slash kind of tropey backstories?
Yeah, so to an extent. There's two arguments I think there could be had, and this could probably go for a long time, but there's characters that are stereotypical, and then there's characters that are good and evil, right? So,
mm-hmm.
because, and here's the issue I have is, you can get mad at Lucio for being, like, really stereotypical and, like, his mannerisms, the fact that he doesn't have any voice lines in his native language, from what I can tell. He's, like, a music person, and all his skins are either, like, being musical or some kind of sport. So he's kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, black people are entertainers. I'm like, okay. But, like, as far as being a good person, like, being on the good or bad side, he's unequivocally good. Like, the only bad thing he ever did was to liberate his favela from
he's
being...
He's, like, chaotic good.
Yeah, he's chaotic good, like, without a doubt, and, like, super positive. But then you say, okay, well, he's really stereotypical. Like, well, all the characters are, like, some sort of stereotype. Like, McCree is literally a cowboy in the future when there's no other cowboys, and... He has a spur on his gun, which he wouldn't need. And he doesn't ride a horse, so he don't need spurs on his boots either.
He just likes to jingle when he walks.
Yeah, so, and then you have, like, Widowmaker is, like, almost offensively, like bad. Like, her French is, like, over the top.
She was a ballerina.
Yeah.
Like,
the Shimada brothers are, like, Yakuza people who... Like, are dragon-themed and, like, either a ninja
like
or...
Like, they're full of, like, the cherry blossoms and, like...
Yeah, so... And I'm not saying that...
tattoos.
Like, even Soldier 76 is, like, Mr. Goody-Goody, Captain America, first-person shooter guy, which, you know... like, D.Va's a StarCraft champion who happens to be from South Korea, and her battle style is, like, using a mech to fight against what are basically kaiju. So it's, like... To me, in a game that's like a cast from around the world, like your Street Fighters, your Dead or Alives, your Overwatches, that's kind of what is relied upon. But of course, stereotypes have different effect on people of color because we live in that kind of society. But I don't know if it's the right... I think that mixes the message when it's like, are we mad at Doomfist for being stereotypical or for being another evil brown character? Because... Being another evil brown character, that's a different conversation. For being stereotypical, I don't know if I'm going to be so quick to just leave it at that. Even though I think there's a good beginning to a thread there. But then you have Pharah, who's probably the only character that I can recall that doesn't have like dirt in her backstory, like her and D.Va. Everybody else is like kind of like doing some shady stuff, I'd say.
Yeah.
And Reinhardt.
So.
But he doesn't like techno, so that's ahead against him. So.
But I think Cap, not that he, like, obviously this discourse is, let me start again. Like, I think that whether or not the discourse has made, like, I think Jeff Kaplan is aware of this conversation and, like, they're working to do something about it.
Yes.
So I think that's at least better than other things I could name.
Yeah, I think that's the crappy part about criticism about a game like this that's doing, like, and I'm not going to dismiss these criticisms because I think they're, if you could even have a passing glance and get to these criticisms, that means there's some validity to them. And I'm not, I don't even wholly disagree with them. Like I was saying, I just want to have a very specific through line to them. But like you were hinting at, there are things that are way, way worse than this. And that doesn't give them a pass, like, by all means.
Yeah.
But they do get, like, I guess the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to do better.
It's one of those things, like, I feel like we treat the things that we love with stronger,
blowback?
Like, criticism. Because, like, because they've given us something to expect. Like, look at the people, like, who, like, go off on Steven Universe or, like, stuff like that. I think we've talked about this before, too. I don't know whether it was with a guest or just the two of us, but, like, the idea that, like, we don't expect anything of the South Park guys or of Seth MacFarlane or, like, people like that. We're not like, oh, man, I can't wait to see what progressive shit the newest season of Teen Wolf pulls. Like,
I mean, they are advancing queerbaiting technology, so, you know.
Like, so we're more hurt when the things that we love and expect progressive opinions from let us down than we are when things that we were pessimistic about to begin with prove us right.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And, you know, I've told people this before. I've had the conversation about Lucio. Like, he is basically the, oh, shit, man, how you doing? Like, kind of jive-talking sort of dude. I mean, when you meet Johnny Cruz, it kind of seems like he wasn't acting. He just read lines as himself. So I think Johnny Cruz, like, who is, I forget his nationality, he's not black, but he is of Latino descent, I believe. And there's also rumors that Lucio was supposed to be Canadian anyway, but anyway.
Hence the hockey.
Yeah, hence the hockey and not, like, luckily not, like, basketball or something, because that would have probably been a lot harder to talk, to help out. But he's kind of like the, it, you know, for people like me who try to be, in my personality, I like to be the, come on, guys, let's stick together, let's do this, we can handle this.
Let's drop the beat.
Yeah, yeah. For some of us, that kind of comes naturally. So when I see a dude like Lucio, I'm like, this isn't like another Barrett Wallace, big, tough guy. Like, I would have been more critical of Doomfist if he would have been there before Lucio, kind of thing. Because, like, a lot of, like, you have, like, your garter belts, your Barretts, your dude from the second prototype game, like, just big black dudes that are, like, you feel like they're going to call you sucka at any minute and then, like, punch you real hard. Like, to the, also, Doomfist's weapon is, like, his fist. And he did, apparently, he didn't get rescued by Todd. He punched his way out of jail and then busted up those robots before he even got the Doomfist. So it's like, he is, there's a bit of the scary black man to him until you hear his lines. Mm-hmm. He is, like, he's, I mean, since Numbani pretty much is Wakanda, like, he seemed like he would fit there, kind of like the, oh, like, on the one hand, I'm going to crush you with my overwhelming strength, but, like, I'm going to say stuff to you that's, like, people compare him to a Bond villain, too, already. Uh-huh. So it's, like, he's not just some dumb, like, I'm a punch it kind of guy, which is cool. That they don't just completely go one stereotype and not do something on the other side, you know? Like, you know, even Widowmaker, the French are lovers. Eh, Widowmaker's cold-hearted and doesn't care about anything, so they play that game. But, so, like, mm-hmm. I see Lucio, I'm like, I really like this character. It's nice for me to see somebody that I could feel more comfortable being that role. People are like, well, it's problematic. But, I'm like, damn it.
real quick, though, I feel like isn't, like, part of the reason Widowmaker's so scary is that she's French, so she should be very affectionate, but because she's been brainwashed into a cold-hearted assassin... Like, I mean, would it be the same if it was, like, a German assassin or someone? Like, something, like, from, like, a country that we see as, like, more, like, economical and not as emotional?
Possibly. I don't have enough interaction with, like, French stereotypes, even. my go-to terrible French characters are Pepe Le Pew.
Well, and he's that, a master of love.
I wouldn't.
And by love, I mean kind of pressuring people into semi-date rape.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's pretty much the Pepe Le Pew thing. Like, there's not really a way to do it nicely, to describe him nicely. That's pretty much the gist of what he does. Like, and it's, not really great, but yes, I don't know. So there is a stereotype to it. So it's that's what I'm saying. That's the whole thing. Again, not to give it a pass. It's just kind of, it sucks when you love a character a lot and relate to that character, and people are like, well, it's bad because they're like, oh, I'm affected by this. Like, I'm in the camp of people that it's hurt by this, but I didn't want to see that. And in a vacuum, yeah, it's not even a problem, but it's part of a greater context. It's complicated. Still, Doomfist looks fucking sick, though. Like, as just a character, yeah, in that universe, even take Race out of it, like, yo, this is a dude with a cool fist. Just,
like, a big dude with, like, an Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
That punches people.
And it didn't take 8 damn years to see it.
More than 8, because they still haven't finished putting the fucking thing together.
Well, we saw it though.
Avengers was 8 years ago.
Yeah, but we saw the fist. It just doesn't have the stones in it.
True.
Can I make this segue here, or is that too much of a spoiler?
No, I think you can make a segue.
So, speaking of black dudes with powerful mech fists, I saw Spider-Man Homecoming this weekend, and the shit was baller.
It was so good. I saw it the other day too. Yeah, I don't think the fact that, like, there's one hench with a power fist kind of punching, like, weapon thing is not, I don't think that's too spoiler.
I guess that wouldn't be a spoiler. I think people know, but we won't really get into why he has it or what he's doing, but isn't it weird to think that, like, so, like, I'm not going to, but if I told people what happened, like, in the first, let's say, 10 minutes of that movie, that's not, like, a time spoiler. You're not going to be like, oh, man, like, you ruined the movie for, like, no, I just kind of told you the first thing you were going to see. I'm not going to do that, but, that feels weird to consider that a spoiler, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like intro stuff, like, hey, do you know that in the first Iron Man, Tony Stark gets captured? Oh, man, now I'm going to not enjoy that first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, spoiler-free thoughts on Spider-Man, what'd you think?
I really loved it.
Good, good.
I had a great time. I didn't realize I was reviewing it until after I left, so I didn't cast plot points to memory as specifically as I might have had I known that.
Time to go to the wikis.
Time to hope that someone has already written something really spoilery that I can crib details from, if necessary.
Nah, you can go to TV Tropes and just read Peter's, like, entry, and you'll get the gist of the movie, I'm sure. He hasn't been in enough movies to have a long thing yet.
He has been in more superhero movies than any other superhero.
No, this Spider-Man.
This Spider-Man. Yeah. I was going to say Spider-Man. No,
I mean Tom Holland, like, the MCU Spider-Man. Has only been in two movies. Yeah, yeah. Sorry for the miscommunication. But, you know, I think every actor did a pretty good job. I thought the story was fun and grounded. I don't think it was this grandiose, huge freaking thing, you know?
Yeah, it was, like, just, like, a little Spider-Man story. It wasn't, like, Civil War was, like, Avengers 2.5.
And in a weird way, like, looking back, like, the stakes of that weren't that high, actually.
Yeah.
Like, looking, like, it seemed like this grand thing, but, like, no matter what, like, no one was in a whole lot of danger in that movie other than the Avengers. And maybe, like, some townsfolk who were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But there wasn't a blue laser going into the sky like every other superhero and plus Ghostbusters movie. It was just
there wasn't like a piece of the earth wasn't like about to be dropped back into its crust,
yeah,
causing worldwide devastation. Like
Tony Stark or Captain America could have died. Like, because if one of them would have died, I feel like that would have been the end of that whole little conflict, like, pretty handily. But yeah, I liked Spider-Man, and I guess very very minute spoilers. And I wouldn't even consider this. Just would it be a spoiler to say this? I don't know. Tell me after I say it, and if it is, I'll edit it out. But to ease some fears, Tony Stark and Iron Man are not in the movie that much. Like, the trailers and the posters made it seem like this was going to be Iron Man again, and it really was not to me.
Yeah, like Iron Man 5.
Yeah, or 7, no. I guess. Would you consider that a spoiler?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think it's almost like a reassurance, I feel like, because I feel like that was a worry that a lot of people had.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
we're going to go into
Yeah, we're going to go into detail
more
after
meat
the break.
Next week.
Yeah, but we could probably just do it after this and just release it next week, I guess, while it's still fresh in our heads.
True.
And something, we'll figure it out, but it was fun. I recommend it, you know.
We don't want to hit on spoilers too soon.
Yeah, but
you'll hear what we think, don't worry.
Yes. Something related to this, and I guess people already knew this, but Hannibal Buress, he's a comedian, he's in the movie, okay? And this has nothing to do with anything he did in the movie, but here's something he did in real life, apparently. So, apparently he was either double booked or didn't want to go to the premiere of the movie. So he sent, like, a body double who didn't really look like him. And some press outlet...
He, like, put out, like, a Craigslist ad.
Yeah, and, like, somebody interviewed him. They're like, oh, Spider-Man actor Hannibal Buress. But I'm glad he wasn't him. But, like, he's not famous enough for it to be like, oh, we confuse him. It was like, someone told us that was him, so we assumed it was him. And yeah, Donald Glover's in the movie. We already knew that, so, you know, it was pretty cool.
Yes.
And, yeah. Jumanji.
Yeah. Oh, that was the abruptest segue.
Sorry, there were, yeah, so guess what I saw a preview for before I saw Spider-Man?
What did you see a preview for before Spider-Man?
The Rock in the Jungle. Okay, Jumanji. Yeah,
for what it's worth, I feel like they really just played their cards too early by actually using Welcome to the Jungle in the trailer.
What do you mean?
I feel like it was a little on the nose to, like, the song Welcome to the Jungle was, like, the background for the trailer.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could have sat on that and, like, used it at, like, a climactic point of the movie and it would have had, like, more... like heft to it than just being like yes, we know you're in the jungle, like, we get it.
Here's the problem though, Steph.
Tell me.
I think they saw there was two things they could do with the song Welcome to the Jungle. They could either have a great climax in the movie. Well, I guess everyone knows they're going to the jungle, so I don't know when they would climax with that, but they could have done that and it would have been probably dope. But I think they realized,
well, like, if they like realized that, like, they had to, like, become like one with, like, the shit they were trying to defeat in the jungle, and, like, use what they learned from the jungle to defeat the jungle kind of thing.
Like, yeah, like, when they finally come in, like, in tune with their powers and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that would have been good. And that's probably what someone wanted to do, and that might still be what they do actually do. But someone on marketing realized, we gotta get some butts in seats, you guys, because the internet...
And Karen Gillian and... The Rock don't put butts in seats by themselves.
Or Kevin Hart and Jack Black either. Like,
yeah.
That's four people. If that wasn't a Jumanji movie, those four people could have filled up a theater. Like, if it was...
Yeah.
Let's say, like, oh, it's The Hangover.
If it was any combination of those four people, people would still go to see that movie.
Yeah, like, here's a movie I'd rather see those four adult actors in. Like, I don't know. Let's say... Let's call it, like, a bachelor weekend or something, right? But, like, Karen Gillan's a cool girl. Like, so we're going to have Kevin Hart be the groom, right? And he's like, I want to go out for one last hurrah, guys. I want to go out for another time. And then he has, like, you know, my best friend Karen Gillan, we went to school together. Like, she's like, yo, I'm coming to the bachelor party. And then, like, I don't know, The Rock is his gay brother or something. I don't know. Because, you know, The Rock has been a gay dude in a movie before. It was a weird movie besides that, but that part was all right. You ever see Be Cool? A lot of stars in that movie.
No.
There's a lot of stars in that movie. Okay. Cedric the Entertainer's in there with Andre 3000 and Vince Vaughn and John Travolta and Uma Thurman. Like, yes.
Yeah, where'd they get the money to make a movie like that? Like,
I don't think the budget was put into the script. Or the advertising. And The Rock had his hair grown out as well. And then Jack Black would just be himself. Like, he'd be the Zach Galifianakis character, but, you know, not just do stuff. Because, like, wouldn't he be wacky if I did this? I mean, he might say that line, but The Rock would give him the eyebrow, like, nah, honey. And it'd be like, okay, like, you know. And they'd get into hijinks.
Like, the first thing he does in the trailer, too, is... do the, like, the people's eyebrow.
Yeah, he does it in Be Cool as well. And I mean,
It's like, your acting range has improved so much since The Scorpion King, Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, that you're still leaning on that.
Maui does the people's eyebrow. For no, like, he doesn't have to do it. The Rock's not physically there.
Yeah.
He still did it, but, yeah, so I'd go see, like, I don't know what you would call it. Guy's Night or something stupid like that. And I'd go see that before I go see Jumanji.
I think it's like, I love the original Jumanji, and it has like, it has its issues looking back, but like,
yeah,
I think they went the right direction in not trying to reboot Jumanji and then instead just telling a different Jumanji story.
But I think this exists in the same universe though.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it can still exist in the same universe and be about a completely different group of people playing a different game.
Gotcha.
Like, that's what I wanted them to do with Black Butler when they rebooted, when the second season came out. I was like, okay, well, it stands to reason that other people in this world would sell their soul for something, like, in exchange for something, and so there could be other demon butlers doing other things. And they were like, no, we're gonna make this about the characters in the first season. I was like, okay, never mind. I see what we're doing. We're ruining everything. So I respect that they're not doing that here.
Yeah, speaking of ruining stuff, did you see that there's, like, another teaser for, like, Death Note?
Oh, God.
I mean, this was, like, a couple weeks ago. Well, apparently it's starting to shape up to be something slightly better. maybe not great, but better than it was going to be, so...
The other thing about it that I'm, like, concerned about is that, like, they lampooned the, like, everyone was like, why is Karen Gillan wearing no clothes, basically, in the trailer when they first, showed the first, like, promo shots, and, like, I figured it was going to be something like a Lara Croft, like, send-up kind of thing, like.
Well, no, I mean, she was like, why am I wearing this?
Yeah. So even in the trailer... shoot, like, they're, like, acknowledging that this is a ridiculous outfit for someone to wear in the jungle. But the thing I'm really worried about is Jack Black playing a teenage girl stuck in Jack Black's body.
I'm not worried. So, are you worried, like, are you worried about the writing or the acting? So I think the acting is gonna just... I think Jack Black can handle that. I'm just worried how it'll be written.
Yeah, I'm worried about the writing. I just feel like there's so few... like, so many of the jokes are either going to be, like, flat gender switch jokes or flat, like, things a teen girl says jokes.
Well, I don't,
like, already we had him saying, like, oh my god, I just can't even.
Yeah, like, you know the, you know,
that's
the,
what teenagers say.
You know the not great part about that? They were making those jokes while she was still, like, herself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They didn't wait for the body switch to happen. Like, they're... They had the dignity to at least establish...
to at least write a consistent character who was a female, like, a teenage girl stereotype.
Before the body switch happened, it wasn't just like, Jack Black, girls say I can't even, now go. Again, in a vacuum, certain things would work. Because next to that, you also have the basic ass... oh man, I was tall, but now I'm Kevin Hart's height. Where's the upper 2 feet of me? Like, haha, Kevin Hart's short, I get it. Oh, Jack Black's not a girl, I get it. Oh no, these are the kind of jokes we're going to be getting.
Not only is Jack Black not a girl, he's the kind of, like, not a girl that a girl would be, like, horrified to be, like, if you were, like, a skinny, privileged, white teenage girl.
But it's not like, actually Jack Black, because if it was, then it'd be like, well, I am at least Jack Black, though, like, skee-bidi-bidi-bidi-doo. But no, he doesn't exist in this universe.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, there's, like, the... it's, like, a double grossness, because it's, like, let's hate on teen girls while also hating on people who are overweight. Like...
yep. They did both those things.
You doubled down. That's awesome. Yeah, so it's gonna be a ride.
You know, but she might learn the power of, you know, don't judge people for their looks.
True.
I mean, because this seems like it's setting up to be a kind of movie where they all learn a lesson about, like, see, You used to be
about
tall.
About their identity.
Yeah, you used to be tall and super athletic, but now you had to, like, be resourceful. And you used to, like, only care about looks. But see, beauty's on the inside, blah, blah, blah. Fat people aren't bad. And Karen Gillan, you're just taller now and have to get more bug bites. And you're the Rock now. You lucked out. White privilege at its finest. Was it a white dude that turned into the Rock?
No. It was a brown kid.
You think I give pay attention to this shit? Like,
why would they cast a white kid to turn into the Rock?
Why'd they cast a girl to turn into Jack Black?
It's mostly white. At least they didn't change race.
I mean,
like,
they could have.
They at least weren't gonna go for that, like, really, really unpleasant low hanging fruit joke.
But then they wouldn't even I don't know. Let me be honest. I forgot who it was. I just assumed there was a white dude. Because it was a Hollywood movie, and
there are in fact no white dudes in the original swap, I don't think.
So they had to go out of their way.
A black guy, a brown kid,
and two white girls.
And then two white girls, yeah.
Oh man, they're like, we have to get back to the Smurfette principle somehow. Like, we casted too many girls in this original cast. You're Jack Black now. What a weird conceit. Yeah, well, I just forgot who the kids even were. I don't know what any of them look like.
I don't know who any of the actors are.
But we didn't come to see them. And I'm not going to go see the adults. I hope it's fun, though. I mean, I've been surprised before. So.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it'll be the Power Rangers all over again.
You know the Power Rangers? You know what sucks about the Power Rangers? The old fighting game. It was trash. It was so bad. Unresponsive and terrible. Not to beat them up. It's all right. Anyway, well, let's go to some music and finish strong, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, here's some music, homies, and we will be back.
I hope you guys all enjoyed that music, as always. The artist info is in the show notes. And as always, this is our last section of the week, which is the stuff we got this week apart. I didn't get anything this week. Wanted to get a goddamn Ash Hat Pokemon, because Pokemon Go's having their 1 year anniversary thing.
Oh yeah.
Really would like to get 2 Ash Hat Pokemon so that I could eventually evolve one of them into an Ash Hat Raichu. But I walked like 3 extra blocks today in the goddamn heat to a Pokestop tracking an Ash Hat Pikachu. When I got there, the Pokemon had fled, and as soon as I walked a block away, I looked down at the tracking again. It was right back at that same Pokestop. So I didn't get anything.
You didn't walk back?
Actually, I didn't walk back because I was like, I gotta go record with Dom. So
I didn't know you were doing something important. I would have let you delay.
But I got to go home this weekend, so I got to see people, and I got some belated birthday presents and stuff like that. But
dope.
Bitter about the Ash Hat Pokemon. Put Pikachu.
Well, chances are it'll come back around again. Hopefully.
Hope so. Hopefully before it's gone.
Or something cooler, I mean.
Yeah, I'm only a goddamn Magikarp away from finally having a Gyarados, so...
Huh, I thought you already had one.
Pray for me, your children. No, my sister has 4!
That's right, that was her that said that, okay. Sorry for your loss, homie.
Freaking Florida girl.
Florida girl, that's what they call her.
It's a dangerous moniker. It's almost as bad as Florida man.
Maybe. Cool. That's very cool. I also got...
What did you get this week, Brent?
I also got birthday gifts this week. Last week, I got the Spin Dash 2.
Yours were on time, though.
Yeah, mine were on time. Some were even early. It was wild. Spin Dash 2 came out. It's a Sonic remix album from Game Chops.
Nice.
I don't know if this was also supposed to coincide with his birthday, or if it... I mean, if it was late, if it was, maybe it just was coming out. It's all right. It's there's some really great songs on there. There's some ones that are like, eh. There's definitely some songs in the Sonic canon. They get done a little too often. I mean, the majority of the Sonic 3 soundtrack gets redone too much. plus Chemical Plant Zone from Sonic 2. So I could probably go for a year or so without hearing a new Chemical Plant or Flying Battery remix, but the ones that were there were good, so no hate. Just saying,
just saying, be creative.
If you can make music, there's hundreds of tracks that could work. But they were good. It was good. It sucks when someone's like, "Oh man, this is clearly well made, but it doesn't tickle my fancy." But
I know that feeling.
It's depressing. But for my birthday, I got like. So I was given by two separate people, I guess
a bottle of Red Wave.
No, a fifth of Fireball. two separate, like, so I have two of those then, and someone brought me some Irish whiskey for my birthday, and then.
So it sounds like you're just prepared for the next con.
I was prepared for the next con.
At least like the first con. Night of the next con.
Oh, I could probably get through a day or two. I mean, it's basically
Fireball should get us through.
Yeah,
part of the day.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Why do we drink so much Fireball?
Why?
I mean, like, it's good, but like that's like our congoing, like,
I think it's the easiest thing to take
choice.
I think it's the easiest thing to take shots of.
It's very easy to take
or
shots sips. Of.
Plus, you can like put it into like ciders and stuff or Coke.
It mixes well with a lot of things. That's fair.
And it's relatively cheap, and the sugar helps you get a little bit more, like, loopier, whatever. So it's, I don't know. It's easy to have. It's I don't know. Also, it's a little funny. hashtag stronger bow. So I got that and some Irish whiskey, because, you know, people like to treat me. And then, my girlfriend got me some cookies and a little, like, knit stormtrooper. With a blood slash on his face, and you take the hat off, it's Finn. I'm like, oh, it's really adorable, actually.
That's super cute.
Yeah.
I saw the picture you sent me. It was adorbs.
You ever see something and you feel like you're overreacting to, like, no, you feel like people would think you're overreacting, but you're like, this is really adorable and I'm really happy. And then, so that was that.
It was one of those.
Yeah, it was cool. And then, I have a friend who has a birthday 2 days after mine, our mutual friend. She's great. She's also a great gift giver.
She is a great gift giver.
So I now possess another nerdy T-shirt to up my game as always, and a Funko Pop, another one. I think she has purchased Funko Pops.
She has a gift giving style.
Yes, I think she's given me all my Funko Pops except for Sidney Crosby, and this one was Lucio, and I'm like, yeah,
oh nice,
so good.
You didn't have a Lucio yet?
I was about to buy it, but I just kept like riding the fence about it, so. Good thing I didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. If I had two Lucio Funko Pops, I would just...
You could just have one at work and one at home.
Yeah, I would just have two. I would have two Lucio Funko Pops. I wouldn't try to turf it. I would just have two. And I can't remember. I'm getting an art book tomorrow.
Ooh, is it the Splatoon art book?
Yeah. It's actually released tomorrow. I don't know. Did I tell you?
Nope. I just figured it was that or Overwatch.
The Overwatch one's not released for like a few more months, but
so there it is.
You want to know when I pre-ordered the Splatoon art book?
Like a year ago?
Christmas.
Ooh.
And I was like, whatever, I'll just, that's enough time to forget about it. And
then be surprised when it comes.
Yeah, like a week before the game comes out, roughly. So that's what I got. It's eventful. It was a good time.
Nice.
And I don't think I really got anything else. I'm going to go see In the Heights in a couple days, so that's kind
in
of
the
cool.
Heights. In the Heights.
I'm, you know, oh, I love being tired casting. Not now, but we should do our spoiler cast of Spider-Man.
Yes.
And we should have did one for Wonder Woman, aka you should do one about Wonder Woman with a guest. And I would have just like sat here.
A guest listened. Who had actually seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, did you hear? Apparently, they're going to set the next Wonder Woman in the Cold War or something.
Really?
I just saw a rumor of it. No, I just saw a rumor of it.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were setting up, like, a pun that I was going to feel, like, real dumped on by.
No. I wish I had a good pun. I really do. I don't, though. It's just a rumor that I saw somewhere.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Closer to when I would care, but still not there. But I do enjoy the idea of, like, okay, Wonder Woman 1. Like, so you see her in the present with Batman and Superman. And then you see her in World War 1. Then you see her in Justice League, present day. Then you see her in the Cold War. And then it's like, you know what? She's gonna fight in Vietnam, too. And, you know, and she's going to fight... Put Wonder Woman in the War on Terror that we fought. So just keep putting her... Somehow find a way to keep having her in the past, but also in the present, to just, like, have Wonder Woman all over time. You know what I heard, actually?
What did you hear, actually?
Wonder Woman fought with Optimus Prime with Harriet Tubman. She wasn't Wonder Woman yet. She was just still Diana, but, you know. It was the Transformers and Themyscira. That's where all the fembots are. They just stayed on the Amazon island. They're like, yo, this is way more chill. Because that's how Transformers talk.
Yeah, this is way more chill.
I mean, would it not be?
I mean, in Michael Bay's world, probably yes.
Yeah, so. You want to give the people the social media biz?
Yeah, let's wrap this up. All right, if you want to find us, you can find us on our podcast on Twitter at CharacterRev. You can find us on Facebook, Character Reveal. You can find Dom on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, not Facebook, but maybe Facebook, I don't know.
And if you know me, Twitter, you probably have Tumblr. Me on Facebook already.
Instagram at Brother Dom. You can find me on Twitter at Captain Steph, Tumblr at The Snow Queer. You can find this, you can listen to this podcast at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. Or on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, whatever listener of your listening platform of your choice. If that platform gives you the opportunity to rate and review, that would be awesome if you did it. And it would also be extra awesome if y'all supported us on Patreon. You can find us there at patreon.com/character reveal.
Yep.
And if you want to see some random pictures I take every once in a while, you can check us out on Instagram at character reveal. What were you gonna say, Dom?
No, I was saying every little bit on Patreon helps, but I love the Instagram style we have going on.
Yeah, we've got like a smooth combination of Dom meeting people and doing stuff, and me taking pictures of stuff I bought. So
I should also do that, I guess, right?
Yeah, live the dream, man. Show people your Funko Pops.
Hey, would you look at my Funko Pop? We can hang out with it together. I don't know. I'm tired, dog. Yeah, you want to just wrap
did
this
up?
I don't know. I was zoned out a little bit. Who let's knows? Be real. Just
I see how it is.
Hey, come see us on all the networks, and if you can help us, give us money to help us see more people and learn stuff.
Learn things.
Hey, well, and thanks for listening, and till next time. See you later.